I guess I'll start by saying there's a lot of mystery to the legislature that I would love to help unravel for people, because it's actually not as much of a smoke-filled room situation as people might imagine. I think a lot of the delays come from people going back and forth, having policy arguments, and that means that we can't always take votes until people are ready and those arguments have been resolved. There's a lot of nonpartisan staff who have to draft different amendments and different versions of the amendments that legislators can choose between if there's competing versions of a bill. And these things take time, and the parliamentary process takes time. And with a ticking clock, a statutory adjournment date of April 17th, we often have no choice but to work into the evening. And that's particularly true when it comes to budgets. And I know that there are people in the journalism world who do see it as an affront to transparency, and I can see their point of view. I just feel that all of this stuff is recorded. It's available for people, and we do work really hard to explain to the public exactly what things we are putting into a budget as we're doing them, and why we're doing it, and what the narrative is around it. We have documents people can follow along with online while we're doing these budget lines, and we really do care a lot about telling people what we did and why we did it. And we had hours and hours of public hearings and follow-up information sessions that were all in public. They were all noticed properly. And so in the end game of a budget, it can often get quite late at night. And I wish I could say that could be helped, but I really don't think that it can. And, we do our best to schedule things for daylight hours. In fact, we almost always schedule things in daylight hours, and then we get held up. But to put something off for days and days because the earth is facing away from the sun, it just doesn't cut it in this world.
I'm also struck by the reality that you are a part-time citizen, a legislature. Everybody has day jobs, so to speak, so that must serve to just further impede any hopes of maybe getting done earlier in the evening.
Well, I mean, you often see, and this is not with respect to the budget process, but you often we'll see a scenario where attendance changes based on the time of day sometimes. And people have families, people have work-life balance, and, the ebb and flow of attendance can deeply affect the timing of when bills are run. If you have people who need to be home taking care of their kids, it could put you in a place where you don't have the votes to make a particular bill pass, and that can cause delays. There were some very high-profile examples of that last year, actually, that's a great point. We're a citizen legislature. We all have other lives. We all have families. And that's true.
Just back to the supplemental budget question, is this deal worked out over the weekend notably better and an improvement upon what happened a week ago? And if so, exactly why?
I really don't want to speak to the specifics of what is still being talked about before I have had a chance to go out and vote. I know I'd rather talk about, and I'm sorry about this, I'd rather sort of talk about some good stuff in the budget, because I if I tell you something that is like potentially going to be in there and I'm wrong, like that's, or I don't want, like, again, like it's like what I said to you before, I don't want to jeopardize any or harm any conversations that are still happening at this point.
So are you saying, just to clarify, Dan, are you saying that that all the specifics really of the newly arrived at agreement are still kind of up in the air? There's nothing in there that's necessarily guaranteed right now.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that until our committee feels like it can go out and vote, it's never a good idea to get out ahead of oneself. That's all. But what I want to tell you is that no matter what gets changed in the budget, I would say 95% of a lot of the great work that was done will be completely unchanged from our vote last week. You know, there were ongoing discussions about some things, and you've seen that in other reporting about what some of the objections were, and or what some of the things people felt were lacking from the budget, and those conversations are continuing despite what you've read in other papers. And so I don't want to comment on that because, frankly, I want us to end in a good place, and I don't want to be part of derailing anything.
Again, just to clarify, when you talk about great work, you're talking about the work that's been done aside from anything having to do with this supplemental budget deal.
I am talking about the vote that the Appropriations Committee took last week. Our majority report is going to stay almost completely intact in terms of all of the decisions we made. You know, there were a handful that raised some eyebrows and drew some objections, and those things are the subject of discussions and some reporting. And I don't want to comment on that portion, but I do want to just say this is still a budget that has tremendous investments in housing and mental health and education, and I particularly with housing, it made a point. This budget makes a point to really cover every kind of housing, almost every kind of housing category, whether we're talking about rent relief, funding for homeless students, funding for low barrier shelters, funding for emergency shelters and warming centers, funding for some of the tax incentive programs that have been really popular with builders and developers, funding for some of the transitional housing that has gotten a lot of the new Mainers into independent financial situations as they get their work permits. These are things that have been big policy successes, and a lot of these things are getting funding. And we're doing a rent relief pilot program for the first time, and it's actually a substantial amount of money, $18 million. This could make a real difference for people who want to, you know, live closer to where they work, or who really want to avoid eviction. There's $5 million to help to create sort of a new system where people in mobile home parks can leverage money from other sources to buy out any mobile home park owner who's considering selling, which is quite relevant in Brunswick right now. That's a big deal. It didn't work out in Old Orchard Beach, as we found out in the last week, but having a program like that and developing it and strengthening it, that's going to pay big dividends, and it could prevent people from experiencing homelessness, which would be a real win for the people of Maine, I think.